Hi everyone, my name's PK. Here I have Ben Canty with you. I'm super excited about this episode because, I mean, just this is not a lie. I know people think this is fake and everything, but Ben has bought seven properties in 9 months. That was all in 2023. His total purchase or portfolio purchase price is $2,845,000, and the bank val across those different properties has come back at $3,323,000. So the difference is almost 500. I think it's 478K. So that's how much equity he has so far in, like I said, in 9 months, seven properties in 9 months. I'm going to introduce him in a second, but I just want to say in this episode, I think you guys should stick around. Like, you won't find this level of detail in any other place. We're going to go through, you know, what his strategy was going in, because, you know, he used to work in food retail. He worked at Kohl's. This is not a millionaire buying all these properties. This is a normal person. He's based in Melbourne. Why he bought so quickly, why the rush, how he managed to do that. Like, you know, it's not easy, quote unquote, to buy this many properties in a short period of time. We're going to go through how he's doing valuations real quick. We're going to go through his challenges. We're going to go through how he structured his loans, like the nitty gritty, the stuff I know you guys want to know, what his borrowing power was to start with, what are the must-have features in a property that he looks for, the entities that he bought in, how he refinanced, if he did, and how much all this costs to hold. So there's a lot to cover. I do hope we go through everything, but Ben, like I was saying before we hit record, super, super grateful, man. Like, you're doing far better than you're a client to the property. You're my client. I'm the teacher, so to speak, but you're doing far better than I did when I was 9 months in. So big congratulations to everything you've achieved.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, PK. It's a pleasure and an honor to be speaking with you, and hopefully I can add a little bit of value, as my journey has been an interesting one.
to say the least. Well, let's get going.
Welcome to the Oz Property Investment Mastery Podcast. My name's PK, and I help busy people build passive income by buying top 5% growth and cash flow property and build a portfolio using data without wasting months doing research, spending weekends at inspection or catching flights, or dropping $10,000 to $20,000 on buyer's agents every single time. So if you're confused, lack confidence, and just overwhelmed with all the information and marketing misinformation available online and don't know where to start, then this show is for you.
Before doing the course, what was your property experience? What's your background?
Sure, PK. So you could say my property journey has been broken up into two parts. The first part was a far longer journey, and not a lot happened, to be honest. It started in 2009, and I was 24 back then, and I'd saved up $80,000 and purchased a house and land package in Berwick, where I lived in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. 3 years later, using equity from my Berwick home, I purchased a second property in Pakenham, which is about 15 minutes from Berwick in the southeastern suburbs. And that property was a three-bedroom unit on a 12-unit block. And that's it. First part done. So it's fair to say, PK, looking at my asset selection, you know, I didn't get off to a dream start in my property journey. The thing was, at the time, I had no interest in property. You know, I was brought up thinking more of the old school mentality, you know, work hard, grind, buy a house, live in it forever, then maybe buy another house just down the road so you can see if the tenants had mown the lawns. Old school property investing 101. But in hindsight, looking back at my time in my 20s, I think I'm underestimating, you know, my behaviors and decisions. For a bit more context, I was raised in a middle income household, in a middle income suburb. My parents are together and are to this day. You know, we learned strong values and ethics, and we also learned to live a risk averse and frugal life. You know, there was no fancy overseas holidays. There were no cars or boats in the driveway. There were no credit cards. You know, mum and dad to this day don't have a debit card. So, you know, we learnt the value of money, But more importantly for me at the time, we learned the value of budgeting. And I guess you could say we lived within our means and we didn't really go for instant gratification. So we learned to be critical thinkers, and debt was bad. Like, debt was really bad back then. So this makes the second part of my journey a little bit more interesting. So the second part started February 2022. I remember as clear as day, I was on annual leave from work. I'd been working in food retail for 20 years at that stage. And I was just sitting there and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what am I doing? Can I do this until I'm 70 years of age? And, you know, I'm like, no, absolutely not. Okay, so what am I actually going to do about it? So I typed Property Investing Australia into YouTube and your name came up. And, you know, PK, I binge watched your content like I was watching Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad. Like, I binge watched like 100 episodes in 2-3 days. And what I really liked about your content was you're extremely genuine in how you put your content across, and extremely knowledgeable. And what I also liked was you had gone through 10 years of blood, sweat and tears and worked all this out pretty much by yourself. So you were putting your own learnings forward and giving everybody great education. So I'm like, you know, I've got to hear more from this bloke. So I purchased your course in March 2022 and, you know, my mind was instantly blown. You know, there was light bulb moments every 5 minutes listening to the content. Like, even coming from a background of like mine, everything made sense to me. So I had made up my mind after completing strategy week that I was going to get out of the 9-to-5 at 45. So that was the end goal. That was the slogan. That was the end game. I wanted to have the choice at 45 years old, whether I worked or not, or whether I lived overseas, or whether I could spend more time with my family. In order to do this, I needed to do a buy and hold strategy. And I needed to purchase 12 properties in 4 years. And at the end of the 8th year, sell 7, keep 4, plus have one of my SMSF. So that means by the end of the 8 years, I would have $3 million in debt-free property, plus about $120,000 in passive income. So that was certainly aggressive. Absolutely. It was only 8 years away. And but I think your content helped me build up the self-belief and realize it was possible. So I'll admit, it was a pretty rocky 2022 for me in terms of progress. I was finding it really difficult, you know, to work a full-time job and invest at the same time. It's crazy thinking back on this now, but, you know, my self-confidence and self-belief that I could do it by myself was so low that in November I hired a buyer's agent. And I purchased a property. They purchased the property for me at the very, very end of 2022. And I used my Pakenham equity to purchase that. And I had a good experience with them. You know, I think their asset selection was pretty good. In 2023, that's when things really changed for me. That's when things really started to heat up. I made a conscious decision to rewire my brain to believe I could achieve 7 property portfolio by the end of 2023. It was a non-negotiable for me. It needed to be done. There was no ifs, buts, or maybes. There was no second guessing. You know, I needed to do this, you know, to get a step closer to being out of the 9-to-5 at 45. I purchased another property at the end of March in Queensland using more equity from my Berwick home. So, and I remember thinking, I was on top of the world. You know, I did it. I purchased one by myself. You know, I can do this. I've got 4 properties, 7 properties, here we come. I thought it was like a property guru. And then I got stuck. So I couldn't borrow a cent more. I forgot about borrowing capacity. You know, my broker was like, Ben, mate, I love your aggression. I'm all for it. But you tapped out, mate. You know, interest rates have gone up 11 times the last 12 months and your income doesn't cover it doesn't look good for your serviceability. So at that stage, I was thinking, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I said I needed to have a 7 property portfolio by the end of 2023. I've got to do it. So let's get to work. And I remember that you taught that it was really, really important to get a really good team around you. Now, I'd managed to find a very, very good broker, but I never had really had a good accountant for pretty much all the years I've been alive. I saw a video of yours with an accountant called Jeremy Izzanelli from KHI Partners, and he had 23 properties. And I'm like, far out, this bloke, I've got to talk to this bloke. Yeah. So I reached out to him and told him my strategy. And I remember very, very clearly to this day, him saying so casually, "So Ben, have you thought about selling your Melbourne properties?" I'm like, what? You know, my risk averse and cautious brain were literally having a meltdown. I'm like, once I picked myself up the floor, I'm like, I thought about it and it made sense. It made sense to me because one, the value of my Berwick property was more than double two Perth properties combined, but the rent I was getting from my Berwick property was worth only one of the Perth properties. And two, the unit I purchased was a poorer performing asset. You know, and it was a poor yield and, you know, average capital growth. And, you know, the research I had done in the past, I'm like, you know what, I can get a far better property interstate for less money that will give me better returns. So I certainly don't recommend this strategy to everybody, but this strategy completely fitted my goal. And I'd also learned from other successful property investors that sometimes you do need to rebalance your portfolio, especially if you do want to build a scalable one. I spoke to my broker about the idea, and we actually mapped out a scenario. If I did sell my properties, what exactly would that look like? So I worked out what my properties would sell for minus tax and the expenses. And look, I just want to say that the profit of my Melbourne properties was nothing gigantic, you know. So the loans I had on my Melbourne properties were actually a lot more currently than when I started because of the equity I drew out to pay for those properties. So you know, the unit I purchased had not even doubled in value. In 11 years I had it. The Berwick property had done okay. And to give you more context on my financial situation, so I'm a single man, no kids, but I am an average income earner. You know, for 20 years, I was on a five-figure salary wage. It was only the last 2 years that I just ticked over the six-figure mark. So my broker ran the numbers, and this is where the money habits and behaviors that were instilled in me in my youth really came to the fore and were beneficial. So, you know, I had no credit cards, I had no personal loans, no car loans, no HECS debt, no PPOR, no outstanding payments, perfect credit score. So combining this with the profits from my Berwick and Pakenham properties, my broker said I could buy enough for 4 properties in my own name and 1 in my SMSF. So there was a little bit of criteria that I needed to hit in order for the lenders to be satisfied. So 20% deposits, tier 3 lenders. The majority of the properties had to be around $400,000, not really much more. And the yields had to be, you know, around about 5.5% minimum. Mm-hmm. So at risk of me talking for the next 2 hours, PK, I did it. I sold my Melbourne properties in May last year, and I purchased another 3 properties in Queensland and 2 properties in WA through a 10-week period through July, August, September last year, and did it. 7 properties by the end of 2023.
So it's so crazy. I mean, I generally didn't know your income, and I think when I posted your deals and your story on the Facebook group, everyone assumed that you were on a high income, and so did I, to be honest. Like, I never asked your income before. I mean, for some reason, I expected it to be like 300,000 or something, but like, this is, it's kind of hard to believe. So, and I'm not saying it's false, but yeah. It's kind of hard to believe you were on a five figure income for 20 years. It just pipped the six figures in the last 2 years. So like, this is average income, whether you take the mean or median for Australian people, this is average. And of course, I think a lot of credit has to go to your folks for instilling those just, I would say, pure money habits that allowed you also to have that borrowing capacity. Just on that question, I want to ask two questions before we sort of carry on. One question is, have you told your parents your portfolio now and how much debt you have? And if you have, what's their reaction?
Yeah, so yes, PK, they know. So it's interesting. They had, in the last 10 years, they've made a fairly decent portfolio for themselves. So they understood the basics of property investing, but they certainly were a little bit apprehensive when I said, hey, you know, I'm not really buying 15 minutes down the road. I'm actually buying pretty much sight unseen, like 3,000 kilometers away in Bunbury in WA. So they were initially a little bit hesitant, but they'd seen, I guess, all the hard work that I had put into myself, into my mindset firstly, but secondly, into the education, you know, the last 2 years or so. So they were confident that all that combined, that I'd make the right decision, and it'd be a decision that benefited me in the long run. So, yeah.
Right. So mindset plus knowledge is really what instilled the confidence, I suppose, in them, in you. And the second question I had, because I thought it was interesting, you did the course and then you went off and used a buyer's agent. And like, let's be honest about that. You did, because you had some limiting beliefs. I think you mentioned, what I'm interested in is you bought that one through a buyer's agent, but then you bought the preceding six by yourself using the course. How did you, beyond just saying like it was a mindset thing, which obviously it was, Could you help me understand what you rewired in your brain? Like, what are those subconscious beliefs? Yes. I can guarantee there's going to be like thousands of people watching this on YouTube or listening to it on the podcast that have these exact issues.
Yeah, sure. Of course, PK. So I've always struggled with self-doubt and self-confidence for, you know, most of my life. I've always had a fear of failure, you know, doing the wrong thing, people judging me, judging my, you know, life compared to others. So, you know, and not really believing I could do anything. So I came to the realization that, you know, I was just floating through life. I was comfortable, but I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't adding value and I wasn't getting value. And how my mindset was at the time was not going to change any of that. So I looked literally deep within myself and worked out that for my life to improve, changes need to be made. And I realized that one of the only things you can control in your life is your own mind. Understanding that, there were thought patterns that I was thinking all the time that needed to change. Instead of the fixed mindset, meaning I'm born with my abilities and I can't really change them, I rewired my brain into the growth mindset, meaning with hard work, you can learn and you can improve. You know, with this, I created a more positive mindset. You know, when I was faced with obstacles and challenges, I said one word, good. My brother taught me that. Good. You know, because I understood that nothing of value is easy. You know, if it was, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah.
And doing this was the catalyst, you know, for my turnaround. Realizing that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail, because you're only a real failure if you quit. So if you can just keep going and concentrate on the solution, then, you know, in time, with all that practice, you know, you'll be better for it.
Yeah.
So that's how I, you know, changed my mindset. Yeah.
I can really tell that you've sort of deeply contemplated and thought about these things. Like, you're coming across like very thoughtful and like you're articulate. So I can see there's been a lot of inner work done. And I think property investing, as much as it's about strategy, suburb selection, et cetera, it's actually about that inner work as well. I used to have a massive scarcity mindset. The way to get ahead is to save. Nothing wrong with saving, but now it's all about the way to get ahead is to earn more, right? And then you don't have to worry about like spending, and that's kind of where freedom comes from. Anyway, I don't want to make this about me, but thanks for sharing. And so, you know, you were working that job and you found it tough to balance the both investing and working in 2022, but in 2023 then you went off and bought 6 properties by yourself. Well, so like, how did you then, why the rush? Like, sure. Why did you want to do it in such a fast period, and how did you manage to do it?
Sure. So PK, there was a couple of reasons for the speed. So number one, so I purposely forced myself to take action to unlock my ability. You know, like, ability is putting knowledge into action. It's so easy to sit back and overthink and overanalyze, procrastinate, ruminate. And it's so much harder to take action. So I needed to force myself to. You know, I remember I had a diary on my desk, and I had an end date written in that diary of when I needed to buy the portfolio by. And every day I used to update the end date and, you know, also write some strong motivating words to keep me motivated and grounded. And this made me completely accountable. What I also did was write down everything, you know, negative a person said about me. And looked at it every single day. I put it on the wall and looked at it every single day. And PK, it's crazy. Like, I had people calling me psychopaths because of what I'm trying to achieve and the mindset that I've taken on, people calling me crazy, you know, people laughing at me when I told them where I bought, people telling me not to buy there, it's high crime rate, there's a mortgage cliff, interest rates have gone up, property market's going to crash, you know, you're putting the rest of your life in jeopardy and risk. So it was a part of mine to keep me focused. It was a part of mine for, I guess, short-term motivation, because I'm more into discipline than motivation. But, I wanted to prove them wrong, you know. So the second reason might be a little bit more of an interesting reason.
I thought that was interesting, but go on.
So I resigned from my job at the end of June last year, and the business was good enough to let me take the rest of my annual leave and long service leave before my official resignation date. So I had 3 months before starting my own business. And we all know that if you're trying to get a loan and you're kind of just starting a new business or you're unemployed, that the banks or the lenders don't really like that. So that was the added motivation I needed to purchase before a set date,
right?
Before, you know, I ran into a little bit of trouble. But I guess what I'd like to say is, I know the property acquisitions were very, very quick, but there was, you know, I'd purchased your course almost 2 years ago. I'd done your course 3 times, PK. I would have taken a couple of months in annual leave to actually do your course.
Wow.
you know, I put months and months and months into researching, educating, you know, learning how to negotiate, being active in markets, building relationships. So, you know, in me spending so long doing that, that gave me the ability to buy in such a short period of time, because I had all the, I had everything ready to go. I was primed to do it. So yeah.
I like that answer a lot. It just tells me how there's so many different types of people. And one thing that struck out at me was, like, you know, the people around you that were telling you, you know, that you shouldn't do this, or what about the mortgage cliff? And it, I think for some of us who have been in the property industry for a relatively longer time, we kind of understand that these cliffs don't actually eventuate being cliffs, or, you know, all this media headlines ends up fizzling out. And I try to demonstrate using data and everything like that. But I think if you're new, like you were, like that's a very genuine worry. And if you have a friend or colleague or family circle or acquaintance circle who actually buy into that mainstream media, like sort of nonsense, if I can use the word, then it's actually quite terrifying. So I think credit to you. I think I need to appreciate that more, of how much of a leap of faith it takes for a new person to overcome that noise. So yeah, I mean, goals are potent for sure, but I think ignoring that noise, and I mean, I don't think I get so much hate, as you can imagine, having a 100,000 person community across different platforms. I don't think I would ever put that on a wall, but kudos to you for doing that. And it also teaches me that there's different types of people. Like, some people do the course whilst having, you know, family and a 9-to-5, and they do it, you know, a few hours every week and buy after 1 or 2 months. And others need to, because of their mindset or because of their background or because of a desire, they want to or need to do it multiple times, and then just block, you know, not do it on the side, but just block a couple of weeks, or in your case, months, to buy, well, 6 properties. That's a lot of properties. But yeah, thank you for answering that. And what this, hopefully this doesn't seem like an interrogation, but I have so many questions to get through. What kind of loan structuring did you use? You know, you mentioned you used third-tier lenders, and I've noticed that you never once went to your broker and said, what's the best interest rate I can get? And that's what most people do. You asked more about, how can I make this long-term strategy work? But what, like, did you go with different banks, or that you, they're all third-tier? Just talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So PK, they are all tier 3 lenders at the start. So my broker's managed to refinance my first 2 loans to tier 1 lenders. Brilliant. Because of the equity I had. So 5 at the moment are with tier 3 lenders. And look, I wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't go with tier 3 lenders. I know that some people are scared of tier 3 lenders, and they just want to go to tier 1 lenders. But I certainly wasn't from that mindset. I think they're quite valuable to go through. And I think that in the future, you know, I know that I will be able to refinance to a tier 1 lender at a better rate in the future because of my income, because of the equity I make. And so I'm not going to be with them forever. So I certainly wouldn't discourage people from using tier 3 lenders. So tier 3 lenders, 20% deposits. And they were from, I had 2 with First Mac, and then spread across other lenders like VMG, Pepper Money, and a couple of others. So my broker didn't even bother looking at tier 1 lenders, I'm sure. He just went straight to 3-tier lenders, yeah.
Right. And even the 3-tier lenders, they know that. Like, they create their products in such a way that, you know, they're attracting people who they know will refinance out in 1 or 2 years. It's a win-win situation. Yes. Like, what's an average interest rate that you're paying right now with a 3-tier lender?
Yeah, so my interest rate, it is a little high. So my interest rate average across the whole portfolio is 7.8%. So I'm paying about 6.75 in tier ones and about just under 8% in tier threes currently. Right. But for me, PK, you know, property is a long-term game. So I'm not thinking short-term. I'm quite confident that in 2 years' time, you know, my properties will be $2,500 positive each property. At the moment, my holding costs are negative $4,500 per property after tax. But I believe that in 2 years' time, with interest rates slowly decreasing, plus rents going up as they are, I've worked it out. There'll be a $50,000 turnaround in my cash flow. Mm. So, you know, I think that, I guess, I don't really look at the now. I know, and I have buffers in place, and I know that the next year or two will be difficult. But I can see the end, and I can see that if I just hold it for 2 years, you know, everything will turn around. And I think, you know, some people do struggle with that. But, you know, believe me, like, yeah, I don't love that I'm in $30,000 debt after tax, but it'll be worth it in the end. And that means, and that's still with the portfolio making over $300,000 a year in equity.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't worry about the short term. If you can get through it, it'll be fine in the long term.
Yeah. I mean, of course, everyone's different. And if you can't afford that $4,000 per property, then, you know, maybe you need to buy a higher yielding property that doesn't cost $4,000, or just not buy at all. Like, you know, it's not a case of just buy property all the time. But if you have a cohesive, well thought through long-term strategy, like you do, Ben, then, well, what to speak of 2 years, like 5 years, 10 years. I mean, it's already got $500,000 of equity, 478. That's gonna go up, but you know, what's the point of net wealth if you don't have cash flow? But then that will then convert into cash flow, as you mentioned earlier. You'll sell down perhaps a few properties and use that profit to pay down the debt, and then you'll have a less encumbered portfolio. This is not rocket science. It's not something that's unique to my students. It's just what people have been doing in Australia for like decades and decades and decades. So I think that's a really cool education piece. Thanks for sharing that. And what sort of ownership structures? I know you mentioned one is an SMSF. Other properties are they personal name? Are they in trusts? Or, I mean, you don't have to go into too much personal information if you don't want to, but just at a high level.
Yeah, sure, PK. So I've got six properties in my own name and one in an SMSF. So I've done a little bit of work on, I guess, trusts and that kind of thing with my broker. And obviously each situation is different, and I'm sure trusts are highly beneficial for quite a lot of people. But for my strategy, my broker was only able to get two properties instead of four in trusts. So it cut down my portfolio by two properties if I wanted to go through trusts. So just a tip for anybody out there, you know, trust would be great, but it might not exactly fit your strategy.
Yeah. And I remember when I did that video with Jeremy, the accountant that you use, we actually talked about trusts and how they can improve your borrowing capacity. But here's a perfect example of it actually not being the right solution for every single person's situation. And in fact, that's what I've got. I'm a bit messy. I've got properties, my name, wife's name, you know, company structures, trust structures, etc. If I had known what I do now, I probably would have made it simpler. But yeah, the simpler you can make it and maximize your borrowing capacity, the extent that you, which you can, that I think that's the best. That's the best way to go. And have you, like, I know that you've bought all of them within a year or within a matter of months, really. Have you already refinanced some to take equity out? Like, was it all of those deposits using cash, or was it some using equity?
Yeah, so the first two properties I bought was from equity from my my Melbourne properties when I had them. But the last five, no. So it was certainly too it was too soon to borrow any equity. But lucky enough, I did have the cash from my Melbourne properties, to put on four 20% deposits plus costs. And I just had enough in my SMSF to buy one more property. So, yeah, I mean, certainly not complicated. I guess, you know, lesson learned for anybody out there that's young or in their 20s is, you know, if you want to get into the property game and get in in your 20s. Just because that's completely paid off for me. So yeah, you know, get in while you're young if you can.
Nice. And we'll sort of talk about what you're doing, what you're passionate about in a second, but I just want to ask as well, what's like, you know, buying in Queensland, of course I know where you've bought, buying in Perth, I think everyone knows it's not a walk in the park to buy in Perth right now. Of course, I teach these things in the course, but what's like one or two pieces of advice that you can share, Ben, for people who are perhaps like struggling and they're like, oh my God, I can't even get agents to call me back. Oh my God, like everything is already under offer when I go online on Real Estate or Domain. You know, emotional owner occupiers are overpaying $100,000 for properties. Like it's impossible to buy in Perth. And I empathize with them because Perth has this kind of unique situation at the moment. Yes, demand is high, but it's not super high. The real problem is supply is the lowest it's ever been in Perth, and it's the lowest anywhere in Australia. Don't quote me on this, but I think it's like the lowest any capital city has ever been right now. So really a supply problem. How did you overcome this? Not just to like fluke one property, but like six properties by yourself.
It's a good question, PK. And I get it. It's hard. Like it is hard buying in Perth. Wow. What I did was I learned to enjoy the process. So I know I talk a little bit about the outcome here, but I really learned to enjoy the process of buying property. And the only way you can enjoy the process is being active in the market, really be amongst the thick of things. You'll be amazed how much you can learn if you're really active in the market. And what do I mean by active? So I mean understanding your three or four suburbs that you want to buy in down to a really deep level. So put offers on property. It's okay if you miss out. You'll be amazed on you know, how much you can learn just by putting offers on property and missing out. You'll quickly notice that your mind will adapt to the market. It'll adapt to you missing out on properties. As long as you don't get down on yourself and you think, oh, okay, I missed out on that property, but that's okay because I learned that I missed out by $10,000 on that property. I'm going to hire a little bit. I'm going to put an offer on a little bit higher next time. Or I was going to put an offer on that bought that property, but I missed out by one day because I wasn't quick enough. I waited to the open home, for example. So yeah, the more time you spend in the market, the more you will adapt to that market. And yes, it is challenging when agents don't call you back. It's challenging when they don't even respond to the offers you put in. All I can say is, like, you only need one. Like, you only need one agent. There's thousands in WA. You only need to call and speak to an agent that has a little bit more time for you, and you might get along with quite naturally. And he or she might send you that pre-market opportunity before it goes onto market. So it is challenging building relationships with agents in hot markets. I know, I've been there, I've done that. But if you can just find one, that can be the difference for you to buy a property.
Yeah. I think that's very, very true. And in my experience as well, nothing can replace picking up the phone. I think people are scared to pick up the phone, and sometimes they'll pay $15,000 for another person to pick up the phone for them instead. Not to say that's what they're doing is bad, but you can pick up the phone and you're not selling anything. It's not like cold calling. You know, you have to speak with agents. Hey, I'm looking for this type of property. I noticed that you had a few sold recently. If something comes up, please let me know. Yes, there might be other people doing the same. Yeah, right. But if you can just develop a rapport, if you can be nice, if you can be professional, if you can say, I've got my pre-approval ready, I can send that to you, I'm ready to go, then that agent is going to send you deals. Maybe not that agent, I should say, another agent. Maybe do that 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. Maybe do that 2 times a week. Maybe do that over 2 or 3 weeks. You're going to get some success. It just takes 1 or 2 agents to come through. And I think, you know, we didn't go through your individual properties, Ben, because we don't have time, but you've got things that are off market, pre-market. You've got things that are under market value. Your properties have gone up really fast. The yields are, you know, not just above 5.5%, but above 6%, 7% in some instances. And you've been able to do this yourself, and you haven't, maybe this is incorrect, and let me know if it is, but you're in Melbourne. Like, you didn't fly to Perth, did you? You didn't fly to regional Queensland or anything, did you? So,
no, absolutely not, PK. I haven't seen any of my properties. I haven't walked into any of them at all. So yeah, I mean, learning the skills to buy interstate, you know, is an absolute game changer, especially if you're in Melbourne, Sydney, because that opens up like countless opportunities for you. And you know, if you're thinking about buying in Melbourne and Sydney, and you might want to buy a $1 million apartment because you want to invest there, you know, data doesn't lie. This is what I say to myself all the time. Data doesn't lie, and data doesn't care about your feelings. It's just there. It's just the data. So a property in your hometown may not be the best interest for you.
Yeah.
So I found that I actually found it a little bit better not buying in my hometown or not seeing a property, because, you know, you've sort of got an emotional connection to a property or a suburb if you know it or if you've been into it. So the thing is, you're not buying in it to live in it. So, you know, so visiting the property is not generally going to go well for you. You know, so you'll pick it apart and be real negative and find out so many reasons why not to buy the property when you probably should.
Yeah.
And, you know, for people scared of buying interstate, there's heaps of good people interstate that will help you. You know, there's good sales agents, there's good property managers, which are extremely important. There's good conveyancers, there's good building and pest inspectors. Like, all those people you've got on the ground, you just need to do a little bit of due diligence and research online, and you can find them, and they will do the job for you.
Right, right. Two last questions, because I'm just mindful of time. I have to ask this, and you know, it's not intended to be a sales and marketing thing, but I have to ask anyway. For someone who's perhaps maybe like you, you know, like you were lacking confidence, you're not from an entrepreneurial background, you're not from a abundance mindset or growth mindset background, you want to buy interstate, you recognize your existing assets are perhaps not performing as well, you jump onto YouTube or other platforms and you see people making money, or you watch this interview with Ben or whoever, and you're like, you know, I think real estate is for me, but I just don't know how to do it. I don't know if I can do a course online. I don't trust myself. Like, what would you say to those people perhaps on the fence about doing the course, the Property Investment Accelerator, about getting the mentorship? Because I think you're a good case study. You know, you did the course, but then you still had to overcome a lot of challenges. So what would you say to those people kind of on the fence?
Well, if you are sitting on the fence, I think you need to think about 3 or 4 things. So you actually need to get a couple of things, you know, right before you jump into education. And that is number one, is mindset. So mindset, number one thing for me, it really was. So, you know, you need to believe in yourself. You need to have unwavering self-confidence in your ability to do this. If you want to build a property portfolio, it's unusual. It's against the norm. You know, 0.08% of people in Australia have 6 or more properties. 99% of people do not reach financial freedom. It is unusual. So you need to be comfortable with that. And your mindset needs to be retrained from seeking pleasure and comfort, which is a natural human emotion, a human need, to seeking uncomfortableness and suffering to a certain point. And you need to be comfortable with that. You need to be ready for that. So I think number two, strategy. So before you get heaps and heaps of education, have a think about why you are actually thinking about doing this. So is it for yourself? Is it for your family? Is it to have more choice? Is it financial freedom? Why are you actually doing it? The second thing is what your end goal looks like, which is really important to me. Is it $60,000 passive income in 15 years? Is it two properties paid off in 20 years? What is it? Third would be how you're going to do it. And PK will show you this in the course. So is it a consistent buy and hold? Is it a front-loaded buy and hold like I did? Do you have equity in your PPOR? Do you have equity in your other investment properties? Without a strategy, you are lost. So they're the probably two things, PK. In regards to the course, honestly, it's been life-changing for me, completely life-changing. You know, I have made it into a full-time job now thanks to PK's education and the course that he puts together. I'd highly doubt that there is a better course for anybody thinking about investing in property and in real estate. I highly doubt that there is. So, you know, guys, if you're on the fence, like, just do it. Just do it.
I think there was one cool thing that you said earlier as well. Thank you, by the way, for that. You're not there by yourself. Like, it's not just me either. There are terrific property managers, building in mortgage brokers, conveyancers. Like, you get that team in the course, and you don't have to use that team. Like, I think, Ben, you know, some of the people that you use, I didn't give you. You know, you actually went out and did your own due diligence and found them. All right, guys. So just to finish off, I hope you got a ton of value from this. And as you can see, there's a whole bunch of papers behind Ben on the wall. So that's all. He's like a very visual person, as am I. He's actually like done all the analysis and like written it up based on what he's learned in the course. So that's kind of like his war room. And you can tell he's super passionate about it. There are lots of people who do the course that get a lot of great results. And then, like, it's just human nature. If you become really good at something, then they want to pass that on. There's more than 75 buyer's agents that it's not that they did the course to become a buyer's agent explicitly, but they just got such success that they turned it into a part-time or full-time sort of gig. And I think it's really heartening to see people who have got success themselves go about trying to help others in an ethical way. Okay. And I think, you know, strategy is amazing. Data is amazing. Tactics are amazing, etc. But ethics, without ethics, everything else falls over. So I think this industry needs more and more people with a solid basis of ethics. And I don't think you can teach that. I think that comes from within, from your own personal experiences. And as we can see, Ben's gone on a really, really transformative journey from, you know, his kind of background with the money habits that he had to now where he's landed himself, you know, proven his criticizers or people have opposed him wrong. Of course, that's not been his only motivation, but he's just kicked goals. And like I said at the start, he's achieved more in 9 months than I did in probably my first 5 years. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm very proud to say that. So big, big congratulations, Ben, for everything you've achieved. I think this episode and interview, hopefully it brings a ton of value. I think it will. We went into a lot of detail here. Before we finish, is there anything else or last tips or anything else that you wanted to share?
I just want to say thanks. A big thanks to you, PK, again, for the course that you've put together. Absolutely amazing, absolutely life-changing. And I know that many, many hundreds of other students think the same way. Your content has certainly been inspiring and motivational for me and a lot of others. So So no, PK, you know, I just want to, and I also want to say that, you know, I know that there'll be thousands of people out there watching that were in the same position I was. So, you know, I think if you believe, you need to believe in yourself, because if I can do it, you guys can do it too. You know, just work a little bit on your mindset, and everything will come. But yeah, like, you're not alone. And I really wish everyone all the best, and hopefully that was just a little bit of value for the guys out there.
No, absolutely. I'm sure they're very grateful on behalf of everyone. Thank you so much, Ben. And guys, I'll tag Ben in the Facebook group when I post this. And if you want to reach out to him and ask questions about his portfolio or how he did it, or sort of tips and techniques or tricks and stuff. I mean, he's obviously, you know, not at the beach doing nothing all day, but I'm sure he'll try to respond and help you out as much as possible. And I think lastly, I always say this, but there's like more than 100 of these client interviews on the client results playlist on YouTube. And I always say, like, honestly, I'm not in that period anymore. You don't have to do the course, right? I don't care if you do the course, but go and watch those interviews, because by watching them, you'll get so much inspiration, just like Ben's provided today, and so much education that it will really shift your mindset and also shift your knowledge set so you can achieve great results. So I really implore you to do that. I'm trying to build a community that kind of, you know, grows based on its own success. And I think Ben's a great product of that, and I'm very grateful to have him as a client and student. Thanks, everyone, and thank you once again, Ben.
Thanks, PK.